Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Ebebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us in the usual spots all across the platforms, 24/7 on the BetMGM Network. We're free on the Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network, on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus. You can listen to us on Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, hit me up on social media. You can find me on Twitter at Femi Ebebefe. You can find me on Instagram at Femi _ Ebebefe. Also, we got the whole crew hanging with us here on this Monday. We have Tyler Morales, Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Addie Bates, Nick Costos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on another Kansas City Chiefs loss. And we feel like a broken record talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. They lose again, this time at the hands of my Houston Texans, as the Texans keep going streaking last night on Sunday Night Football. Can the Chiefs still get to the postseason? They're below 500. Can they make it? We'll talk about that all throughout this show. Me in this segment, Nick, to begin the 4 o'clock hour coming up in 60 minutes. But we also want to hear from you guys as well on social media, the real ones. What's your favorite bet for tonight's Monday Night Football game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Los Angeles Chargers? Massive game in both conferences when you look at the playoff picture. Chargers for the AFC wild card, Eagles for the NFC East. What's your best bet? Side, total, prop. Let us know the why by dropping it into the YouTube chat or in the Twitch chat, and we will give you a tip of the cap, you a real one out there later on in the program. But let's talk about Sunday Night Football last night. We have a lot to get to. What a football weekend it was. College football playoff bracket. We'll get into that in the bottom of the hour. A lot of football collegiately and professionally, but we must begin with Sunday Night Football. The Houston Texans beat the Kansas City Chiefs 20-10. As Kansas City, by the way, from a betting standpoint, don't know what the hell was going on about 90 minutes before kickoff there. They were getting steamed, bad boy. Like, woo, buddy. This thing ended up closing like 5, 5.5 in some places. I was like, what's happening here? Is CJ Stroud out? What's going on? No, all that steam was just nonsense because the Texans beat them by 10. As to me, last night's game and watching it, just like sitting at home in the living room, just taking it in, obviously rooting for the Houston Texans as someone who's very invested in Houston. Kansas City self-destructed last night. That did not look like the dynastic Kansas City Chiefs. That looked like a team that was just dying to lose and didn't know how to win. And it honestly was very jarring watching Kansas City. Like, this is a team that is a three-time defending AFC champion. They make it to the AFC title game every year with Patrick Mahomes. They're in the Super Bowl damn near every year with Patrick Mahomes. And they didn't look like they had any of that pedigree, any of that experience, any of that championship medal that Rudy Tomjanovich talked about back in the day as a head coach of the Houston Rockets. Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion. Didn't see it last night from the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, on the sidelines, we'll get to the players here in a little bit. On the sidelines, Chiefs head coach Andy Reid looking like Philadelphia Eagles head coach Andy Reid. For you young ones out there, Andy Reid, game management, that was not his major when he was the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. That's what he looked like last night, because this game completely turned when it was tied at 10 early in the fourth quarter. I don't know what game Andy Reid was watching that led him to go for 4th-and-1 on their own 31-yard line. Like, your defense had completely shut down the Houston Texans offense. Shut them down. I mean, like I said, I'm rooting for Houston. I'm watching that game, wanting the Texans to win. You know what the Texans did in the third quarter? 3 and out. They couldn't get a first down to save their lives. And Andy Reid, on his own 31, 4th-and-1, against the best defense in the NFL, says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go for it. Bro, what the hell are you thinking? Like, honestly, that was the dumbest decision of the weekend. And there were a lot of dumb decisions in the NFL and college football, but the dumbest decision of the weekend was Andy Reid going for 4th-and-1 on his own 31 in a game where his defense was absolutely putting the clamps on the opposing team's offense. They couldn't move the ball at all. And of course, because the Texans have a kick-ass defense, the Texans get the stop, and here are Houston, with the ball right in field goal range. We're just going to help you, escort you down the field, give you the football right here in scoring position. And credit the Houston Texans. They went out there, they turned that into a touchdown to take a 17-10 lead. And at that point, you just knew, well, this Texans defense is going to close this game out, because Kansas City on offense couldn't do anything either. Patrick Mahomes, I know what the stats say when you look at the box score. And boy, it's an ugly one for Mahomes. 14 of 33. For 160 yards, 3 interceptions. Mahomes had a QBR of 19.7. It is an honestly one of the worst statistical games of Patrick Mahomes' decorated career. But we also must be honest. He got zero help in the game. And I'm not saying this to excuse Mahomes, because Mahomes, obviously, he's part of this. He's part of the reason why Kansas City's 6-7. Like, he's not getting off like Teflon Don. He wears some of the blame. But like, I don't know how you watch last night's game and be like, oh, this is all on Patrick Mahomes. Dude, I don't know who the hell he's throwing to. Rashee Rice, the guy that everyone's been saying all offseason, if they get Rashee Rice back from suspension, the offense is going to take off. I even said some of these silly things. Rashee Rice is a Jag. Let's be for real. Just a guy. He ain't that guy, man. Like, he's not. He's not a one. I don't even know if he's a two. Like Rashee Rice is a Jag. And he's throwing the ball in high leverage spots to Rashee Rice. Oh, no, drop the football. Sorry. Turnover on downs. Like, those are the guys that Mahomes has to rely on. And luckily, they get the ball back, only for that to be derailed, because the guy that he's been able to count on his entire career, his go-to guy, the guy that he opened up a steakhouse with in Kansas City, number 87, Travis Kelce. High leverage spot, down 7. We need it on this drive. Kelce drops the ball into the arms of Azeez Al-Shaair. Ball game. Texans tack on a field goal. See you later. You're now 6-7. That's what Mahomes had to work with last night. It's Rashee Rice dropping balls. It's Travis Kelce dropping balls. I haven't even got to the offensive line that clearly was banged up. And honestly, like, they did a much better job than I thought they would. The fact that, like, Mahomes wasn't getting sacked on, like, every passing play. Like, I thought the O-line held up pretty well for playing guys who were making their NFL debuts and all these guys who were injured. Like, I can't give the O-line that much flack. You know, they were going up against one of the best defensive lines in the league, and they held up how you thought they would hold up, and then some. Like, they actually played pretty well given the circumstances. But clearly this was a bad spot for the Chiefs, and Mahomes had no help, and he didn't get help with his teammates nor his head coach on the sidelines, who was completely brain dead with his decision making, especially in the second half. And I know after the game, and even during the game, the broadcast did a tremendous job about this. Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth, those guys are awesome, as per usual. The conversation of, are the Chiefs dead? Are the Kansas City Chiefs done in 2025? That's the conversation everyone's having today. And it's a conversation we should be having today, because it's what's the most interesting thing coming out of this NFL weekend. I'll tell you what, the reign over the AFC West, that's dead. They're mathematically eliminated from winning the division. So we can at least cross that off. For the first time, 2015 was the last time someone other than Kansas City won the AFC West. And that was when Denver won it with Peyton Manning's surgically repaired neck. And they had that awesome defense with Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, the no-fly zone. They went on to win the Super Bowl, if you had remember that game. But that was the last time, 2015 was the last time someone other than Kansas City won the division. Well, Denver's in line to win it once again here this year in 2025. But KC, done. They will not be hosting a home playoff game. But when you look at the standings, and I know this is supposed to be the time for the Chiefs eulogy, everyone wants to bury them because everyone's sick of them, to be frank. They're not done, man. They're not. We can't deny facts. Kansas City is not done. In fact, you don't really have to squint too hard to see a playoff path for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, let's just break it down. Let's count the teams in the playoffs. Like, it's really simple. Let's just break this thing down, because, like, right now everyone wants to bury them, but, like, no, let's actually talk it out. So, of course, you get your seven playoff teams in both conferences. So in the AFC, AFC East is going to give us two. Like, I don't know what the order is going to be. We'll find out starting this week, actually, with the massive game between Buffalo and New England, but both Buffalo and New England will be in the playoffs. So that's two of the seven spots right there. It looks like the AFC South is also going to give us two. This division usually only gives us one, but this year, it looks like we're going to get two. Jacksonville, Houston, don't know what the order is, but I think both of those teams are going to make the playoffs. The AFC North, which we'll talk about in the next segment, they're probably going to just give us one. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, maybe Cincinnati, probably not, but I'm holding out hope. But, like, we're going to get one from the AFC North. The Broncos, of course, are likely going to be your AFC West winner. So that leaves one spot between the following teams. You have the Chargers, who play the night against the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, by the way, they're a two-point underdog, but the Chargers play tonight. You have the Indianapolis Colts. We'll get into their weekend in the next segment. You have the Miami Dolphins, which I can't believe that just came out of my mouth. And then you have the Kansas City Chiefs. So when you take a look at those four teams vying for that last spot, well, and I know people might be like, well, Femi, what if one of the North teams? No, the North is getting one. Sorry, let's not even have that conversation. So Chargers, Colts, Dolphins, Chiefs. The Chargers schedule, once again, they play tonight, two-point dogs at home, Monday Night Football against the Eagles. After that, they're on the road at Kansas City on Sunday, where they're currently, they're a four-point underdog. So this is what we're talking about. We're just playing the probabilities. Don't have to squint too hard to see Kansas City winning that football game. Then the Chargers are at the Cowboys, which, I mean, if the Chargers win tonight, which would be I'm back now. The haters are trying to get me down right now as I'm breaking down this AFC playoff race. But as I was saying about the Los Angeles Chargers, plus two at home against the Eagles, then they're plus four on the road this Sunday against the Chiefs. But at the Cowboys, home Texans, at the Denver Broncos. That's a very difficult schedule for the Los Angeles Chargers. Like, you could see them catching some L's along the way there. Indianapolis Colts. Well, I mean, they just lost their quarterback, Daniel Jones, to a torn Achilles. So how do you think that schedule is going to play out? At Seattle, where apparently Riley Leonard's also dealing with a knee injury. Like, come on. Then they're hosting the Niners, hosting the Jags at the Texans. I don't think the Colts are going to win another game. So you can just cross them off. Miami Dolphins at the Steelers next Monday night. Tough game, but maybe winnable. Home against the Bengals, home against the Buccaneers at the New England Patriots. And then you have the Chiefs schedule. Home Chargers, which will be a tough game, but they're a four-point favorite this Sunday. At the Titans, I mean, I know they won on Sunday, but that's barely an NFL team. Home against the Broncos, difficult game, although are we sure Denver hasn't clinched the one seed by then? So, like, it's very winnable, and then they finish at the Raiders. You do not have to squint too hard to see the Kansas City Chiefs make the AFC playoffs. And looking at it right now, teams to make the playoffs, I'm looking at one prominent domestic sports book. Kansas City's plus 360. Sounds crazy after what we saw yesterday, but I tell you what, man, I'm betting that plus 360 before I'm jamming all that money in for Kansas City to miss. I'll tell you that right now. Like, I think Kansas City is very much alive thanks to Daniel Jones's injury. Now, like, obviously that sucks for Indianapolis, but like that opened things up because the Colts were going to be the team that could potentially block Kansas City. But now I don't see them winning another game. So if you remove the Colts from the equation, oh, by the way, the Chiefs have the tiebreaker over the Colts. You remove them from the equation. Like, now we're talking about this being Chiefs versus Chargers. And the Chiefs are favored against the Chargers this Sunday. And the Chargers' schedule is much more difficult. So everyone wants to bury Mahomes. Everyone wants to bury Kansas City and Andy Reid and say the dynasty is dead. I'm here to tell you, even after last night's pathetic performance, the dynasty is very much alive at Arrowhead Stadium. And luckily for Kansas City, they don't have to face the Houston Texans anymore. Because Houston, I mean, you guys know how I feel about this team. Been saying it since prior to their Thursday night game against the Buffalo Bills. This is the scariest team in the AFC. Because their defense is the best unit in the AFC. The Texans are absolutely dangerous. And I think they're going to run the table the rest of the way. I really do. And when they run the table, they're going to be your AFC South champion, Houston Texans. And that's its place. You have to go there in the playoffs against that pass rush. Good luck. And guess what? As we saw last night, that pass rush, that defense, they travel. D'Amico Ryans, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Azeez Alshire, they have something cooking down there in Houston. On the other side, we'll get to some of the other big results from the weekend that was in the NFL.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebefe hanging out with you guys here on this Monday, reacting to all the stories and results that we got in football, NFL, college football coming up in 20 minutes. Did the committee get it right? Spoiler alert, they did. They did get it right, and I'll explain why coming up in 20 minutes. 40 minutes from now, though, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs after yet another loss, this time at the hands of the Houston Texans. Texans continue to improve their playoff chances, and the Chiefs, it's getting late early for Kansas City now. It's getting late real early. As the whole question, will the Chiefs make the playoffs? Guess what? Playoffs came early because they begin on Sunday when they host the Los Angeles Chargers. So Nick will talk all things Kansas City Chiefs coming up in 40 minutes. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, how was your football weekend? I know the first game we got to talk about, Bears and the Packers, but all that stuff aside, hell of a weekend of football, though, really entertaining in college and the NFL.
Yeah, that's the thing. This weekend is always a lot of fun. And it's like, oh, by the way, like the Baseball Hall of Fame, Jeff Kent got in.
Yeah, what was that?
Clemens didn't. Nobody knows because they put it up against football because baseball continues to be brainless. But yeah, between the college football, I hate that two, JMU and Tulane are in this. It's a complete joke over there. I love that Notre Dame's going scorched earth, and I don't even like the university. And the NFL games, a lot of fun, incredible games on Sunday as well. It was a hell of a weekend.
The Jeff Kent thing, I feel like that came down like toward the end of the Bears-Packers game. I have Jeff Pass and I have the notifications turned on because, you know, like something big happens, you want to know right when it happens in real time. All of a sudden, I just see it like on my phone, Jeff Kent elected to baseball. I'm like, what? I didn't even know we were doing that this time of year. Like, it was a completely out of left field that Jeff Kent got put in the Hall of Fame. But hey, yeah, I guess that's what we're doing, as we're going to continue to ignore the fact that Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer prior to injecting whatever he put into himself or applying whatever cream he put on himself to make his head like a size 19 head and also have like an on-base percentage of 700 or whatever. But like, hey, you know, I guess we can just go ahead and keep Bonds off to the side and put in his old buddy, Jeff Kent. But yeah, that's couldn't believe it. But yeah, what a weekend it was. Let's waste no more time. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know on this Monday?
Well, Femi, let's start at Lambeau Field, where the Green Bay Packers defeat the Chicago Bears 28-21. This was a wildly entertaining game. Packers get out in the first half, take a demanding lead, but the Bears don't give up. Battle back. And with the game down at 28-21, they have a chance to come down, drive to tie, or possibly take the lead with a two-point conversion. Caleb Williams makes a couple incredible throws to get them down towards the goal line. but makes a crippling interception on a fourth down play that gave the Green Bay Packers the victory. Matt LaFleur and Ben Johnson did shake hands, albeit very briefly after this one. But Femi, to me, I look at this one and go, this rivalry is back. It is not going to be lopsided anymore the way it's been with Green Bay the last 25, 30 years. The Bears are back. They proved they're a legitimate team. And the Packers proved they're one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, it was a great game. And like the fact that it was like a meaningful Bears-Packers game, like that's what we need. Like you could just, oh, just watching the game, like two times watching the game, my wife, she's just hanging out with me in the office. She'd been like, dude, it looks so damn cold. I'm like, yeah, because it is cold. Like they keep putting up the temperature thing. 16 degrees feels like six or whatever it was. Like it was classic NFC North football. Just a great just a viewing experience between these two teams. And I thought, especially in the second half, the game really started to ramp up. Like it got off to a slow start for Chicago, and that's kind of how the game was lost. Like the passing game was non-existent. They couldn't really find their rhythm, and Green Bay jumped on him. Like Jordan Love, have to give him his credit. He was in his bag yesterday. Like 234 yards, three touchdowns. He threw a bad interception, but that's part of the Jordan Love experience. When he makes a mistake, it's going to really be like a mistake. But other than that, I thought he was super locked in the game, making nice passes. Welcome back Jaden Reed. He was back in the fold. Christian Watson had a hell of a game with a couple of touchdowns, a couple of Lambeau leaps. Like it was an awesome, awesome game. But my biggest takeaway though from the game was that these teams are closer than people think. And they're closer together than what the betting market thinks. I'm saying this as someone who lost money on the game. I bet the Bears plus 6.5. Like, obviously, I'm rooting for Chicago to cover the number or even win the game. But like, I thought these two teams were closer going into it. And I think coming out of the game, I still feel these two teams are closer than what people think. Because you could see in the second half, that Chicago Bears offensive line, they start wearing on you, man. That O-line's really, really good. And the run game got going. And if there's a weakness on Green Bay, because we know, like, the pass rushers are awesome. Micah Parsons, he got held about 17 times. Welcome to the Micah Parsons experience. When you got a great pass rusher, they get held. Sorry, that's kind of how these things go. But, like, if you can get at Green Bay, it's in the run game. And the Bears started to do that in the second half. Like, I can't wait to see this game in a couple of weeks at Soldier Field, because I think that it's going to be decided, the division, in that game. Like, that's when it's going to decide. Because, like, right now the Packers are your leader in the division. They're the two seed. But, like, let's just play out this week that's coming up here. Green Bay's at Denver. I know they're a favorite, 2.5-point favorite. But, like, would anybody be surprised if the Broncos won that game? The Broncos win every week, literally. Like, they're just riding a win streak. They got the best record in the league. Would anybody be shocked if Denver beat Green Bay? And the Bears have a nice spot going up against Cleveland. Like, we could be right back here in a couple of weeks where it's Packers at Bears, and it's for first place in the division once again. So, like, I would not be writing off Chicago for those of you out there saying, like, oh, the Bears fraudulent. Because, like, these 2 weeks have shown us the Bears are not fraudulent. The Bears are a legitimate playoff team. Now, the end of the game, that was rather unfortunate for the Chicago Bears. Like, Caleb Williams, I thought he had Kmet early. That was the ball that he hit to Kmet against the Eagles on Black Friday. I thought he had it. Just cut it loose, buddy. But then, even then, just throw it to the back pylon, man. Kmet had the angle on Keyshawn Nixon. And instead, he just throws it there, tries to get it. And Nixon is undercuts it. And that's how the game ends. But I thought they managed the game beautifully, because you knew, had the Bears scored, they were going for two. That's why Ben Johnson was letting that clock wind down. I thought it was a really well-played game. Packers came out on top. You know how I feel about Green Bay. But to me, the biggest story is Chicago is a legitimate playoff team. Will they get there? We'll see. Because I think there's going to be a good team in the NFC that gets left out. But they are worthy of playing in the playoffs after what we've seen over these last couple of weeks. Bill, hit me with the next one.
But, I mean, let's move over to the AFC North, where it seems that nobody really wants to win this division. The Steelers and the Ravens squared off in this one. Steelers won this one 27-22. Rodgers throws for 284 and a touchdown. But really, Femi, the story in this one is Lamar Jackson, who continues to not look like the same player. He looks like a shell of himself. He is either on a cliff where he has fallen off, or he is nowhere near healthy, which is most likely the case here. The Ravens have a serious Lamar Jackson problem. They fall to 6-7. The Steelers improved to 7-6 and hold first place in the AFC North.
Yeah, what a division this one is. And, like, we're going to get to Lamar because, yeah, Lamar, I don't know what the hell's going on there. But for the Pittsburgh Steelers, at least for 1 week, Mike Tomlin gets to quiet the noise. And he was looking at the camera, walking off after they won the game, blowing the kiss to the camera. I mean, Tomlin's just an absolute character. And I guess if you're Tomlin, wouldn't you do the same? I would. Like, Aaron Rodgers got asked about it after the game, saying like, hey, like, what does this mean after the week that you guys went through and everyone calling for your coach's job? And he says, it means everyone can shut the hell up. And he's right. However, his team still stinks. I don't know how you can watch that game and come to the conclusion that the Steelers are a good football team. They are not. They got outgained. They got dominated in the run game. The Ravens were running all over them. Somehow they won the game because that's what the Steelers do. More so, which is rather unfortunate for the Ravens, that's what Baltimore does, which is snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Like, because that's what the Ravens did yesterday. Like, I thought, and it honestly wasn't all on them, because I thought they got screwed by the refs. The Isaiah Likely play, where they say that, oh, incomplete. Like, what is a catch? Does anyone know? I've been watching football since I was like 6 years old. Does anyone know what a catch is? He caught the ball, not one, but 2 feet hit inbounds, and the third one might have hit, but they were like, oh no, because the third one did not hit. I thought in the end zone, the rules were different. Like, you know, like you catch a ball in the end zone on the sidelines, all you gotta do is 2 feet in. Like, he got his 2 feet in, but like now we need to get a third foot in. The whole thing is so convoluted. Nobody understands what it is. And that screwed the Ravens over. Because I think if Likely gets that touchdown, which they called a touchdown on the field, by the way, not sure how they're able to overturn that. If anything, the rule should have just been upheld because it was that close. Like, if they call that a touchdown, I think Baltimore wins. And we're not having a conversation about Rodgers telling everyone to shut the hell up. It's more so, is Tomlin going to get fired at the end of the year? But now, because of that officiating rule, now the Ravens are in a world of hurt and the Steelers are in first place. Baltimore, this thing will not get better unless Lamar can just wake up. Like, that's what needs to happen. Like, he looks like he can move around fine, so I don't think his legs are hurt. Maybe there's like a shoulder injury that we don't know of or an elbow injury that we don't know of. I mean, he's picked up about 4 or 5 injuries throughout this season, but he clearly does not look like the Lamar Jackson that we are accustomed to seeing in the regular season. On top of that, their defense stinks as well. Like, the Ravens' defense is not good. It hasn't been good at any point in the season. But you put all that on the table, and you ask me who I think is going to win the North, it's still Baltimore. Like, it's still the Ravens to me. Or maybe it's someone else, which we'll get into here shortly. But I don't think it's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, bottom line, because they're not good enough, and their coaching staff isn't good enough. Anyone but Pittsburgh, despite what we saw yesterday. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, what was a pretty entertaining game. The Bills beat the Bengals 39-34. Joe Burrow had a couple very unfortunate interceptions that helped propel a Buffalo comeback. Bengals had a 10-point fourth quarter lead. Josh Allen leads Buffalo on 21 straight points, takes care of business. Buffalo now moves to 9-4 on the season, looking really good to be the AFC's top wild card and maybe perhaps push New England for the AFC East. Femi, your Bengals fall to 4-9, and that AFC North, you know, dark horse seems to be fading, perhaps a little bit.
Yeah, it's just a tilting experience for someone who was invested in Cincinnati to win the North, to win the AFC. They were right there, and then they blew it. Like, if you watch this game, because it's a super entertaining game, I'm sure a lot of people watch it. I'm sure even if you were watching Red Zone, they were constantly going to this game because there were so many points that were scored, 39-34. The Bengals were the better team, point blank, in watching the game. The Bengals were in control of the entire game until 2 fluky interceptions. The first one, Joe Burrow on an RPO trying to hit Ja'Marr Chase, lofting the ball over. Nope, Christian Benford picks it off, runs it back for a touchdown. The next play from scrimmage, Burrow drops back, throws, ball is batted in the air, Bills intercept it, and then all of a sudden the Bengals team that was getting ready to go up double digits in the fourth quarter is now trailing by double digits. Like, you look up and it's just like, what the heck just happened? How did we get here? And I'll give the Bengals, or the Bills, a little bit of credit because, I mean, of course, Josh Allen's going to put the Superman cape on. That's what he does. And he was awesome. He was extending plays. There was a fourth down where he was in the red zone, extends the play, fires it in there for a touchdown. Josh Allen is that dude. But the Buffalo Bills as a team, they ain't that team. And I know what BetMGM says. +375, Buffalo's your AFC favorite. Would never bet that in a million years. No. Like, everyone wants to have the take of no Mahomes in the playoffs, no Lamar, no Burrow. It's Josh Allen's time. It's actually not. Because I'll tell you this here on December 8th, if the Buffalo Bills make the playoffs and the Bills have to go to Denver, the Broncos will beat that ass. I'll tell you that. I don't care that it's Bo Nix. And you know how I feel about Denver. I've been the biggest Denver hater all season long. But what I've seen from those two teams, Bills, they are not good. They just have an awesome player. Like, Denver's so much better than them. So everyone wants to say, oh, Bills to the Super Bowl. It ain't happening. I'd love for it to happen because I'm invested in it happening. But we're trying to be honest. And if I'm being honest, Buffalo's not a Super Bowl team. Buffalo's not a team that can even win multiple playoff games. That team is bad. They're being uplifted by one of the best players in the league. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, the Indianapolis Colts were once 8-2 in the talk of the NFL, but they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday, 36-19. That's their third straight loss. Wasn't even their worst loss of the day. Daniel Jones ruptures his Achilles. He's done for the year. Femi, the Colts are fading fast. And with a huge question mark at quarterback and two first rounders out the door for Sauce Gardner, not only is 2025 fading, 2026 is also up in the air.
Yeah, maybe 2027. At this rate, I know they can't do this, but the Colts should petition to never have to play a game in Jacksonville ever again. They never win there, and their seasons go down the drain there, and bad things happen. And yesterday was an absolute calamity, like an absolute disaster for Indianapolis. Like, I bet they wish they had those two first round picks, don't they? As they traded for Sauce Gardner, who's also injured with a calf injury. Like, this thing has been a disaster ever since the Colts got off to that 7-1 start. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to win another game this season. As for Jacksonville, are the Jags good? I don't think so. But they keep winning games, and they're going to be in the playoffs. But when they get there, I can't wait to fade them. Bill, hit me with the last one before we head to break.
Femi, Titans beat the Browns 31-29, but Shedeur Sanders named quarterback for the Browns the rest of the way, 364 yards and three touchdowns. But when they cut the game to two with a two-point conversion, he's not on the field. Stefanski pulls him for the Wildcat.
I mean, can Stefanski also name him to be the quarterback on two-point conversions? Can we get that announcement from Kevin Stefanski? The guy leads you down the field, game on the line. Let's give it to Quinshon Judkins and make him make the decision at court. Like, this is outthinking the room and then some. Stefanski only has himself to blame. And honestly, some of those crazy Shedeur people, looking at you, Mel Kiper, maybe they were right about this conspiracy stuff because I don't know what was going on in the game yesterday afternoon. All right, let's talk college football playoff to wrap up the hour on the other side. This is You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Oh, let's get back to it here on a Monday afternoon on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Pepefe hanging with you guys today. 20 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs losing yet again, this time at the hands of the Houston Texans. Is the Chiefs dynasty dead? That's what everyone wants to know. I don't think it is, because I think they actually might make the playoffs. But we'll get Nick's take on that coming up in 20 minutes to begin the 4 o'clock hour. But boy, oh boy, the takes were flying Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, and Sunday morning with the college football playoff. We finally got the verdict from the college football playoff committee, and this was a surpriser. I didn't think that they would do the right thing, but the committee at the end did the right thing, in my opinion. Both Alabama and Miami are in, and Notre Dame is out of the 12-team college football playoff. And you know what's so interesting about this? Bama and Miami getting in over Notre Dame, because I think a lot of people, the betting markets were very bullish on Notre Dame. I was texting our show chat Sunday morning, kind of following along with this thing, looking at the live markets before we got to the broadcast. At one point, Notre Dame was minus 4,000. To make the college football playoff. I even texted our show chat. I said, I guess Notre Dame is just in. This is just between Alabama and Miami. And if the conversation was Alabama and Miami, they were always going to take Alabama. Because what did the committee tell us last Tuesday during the penultimate rankings? They tipped their hand. Alabama was always in when they moved Alabama from 10 to 9. Alabama was always going to be in the playoffs after they made that move. So I thought that was what the conversation was. I was kind of thinking to myself, well, damn, Miami, sucks to be you. But they gave us the curveball. And they said, you know what? At the end of the day, we have to honor the results, which we'll get into here. But everyone wants Bama out, because I think everyone just hates Bama, because Bama was the team that ruled all of college football, especially when Nick Saban was there, winning all the national titles. I get it. I'm not some big Bama fan, but they deserve to be in. And Saturday was an embarrassment against Georgia. It definitely was. However, they also beat that same Georgia team. So I'm not here for the argument that a lot of people are making, where everyone's saying, oh, well, BYU got punished for losing their conference title game, but Alabama didn't get punished for losing their conference title game. Yeah, that's because Alabama already beat Georgia. BYU, in two chances against Texas Tech, got that ass whooped. Once in Lubbock, and then once in Jerry World. They never stood a chance in either game. That tells you right there, they don't belong. those are the kinds of teams you have to beat to win a national title. They couldn't beat them. So why do they need to get in? The BYU-Alabama, it's a false equivalency. They're not the same. Bama beat Georgia in Athens. And yes, they got embarrassed in Atlanta in the SEC title game, but they at least proved to us they have the ceiling of a team that can beat Georgia in Georgia's home field. BYU showed us, yeah, we can just get dropped in embarrassing fashion to Texas Tech. So that's where that whole kind of BYU and Bama, they just want the SEC. Yeah, I'm sure ESPN and all that stuff would love the SEC, but even conferences aside, two teams put together, they're not the same. So quit the nonsense. It's not the same whatsoever. But let's get to, because Bama, they were always in. The committee told us that Tuesday night, people just didn't listen. And I was part of that too. I thought that maybe they would hoodwink us, but no, Bama was always in. So then it came down to what we've all been arguing this entire month. Miami against Notre Dame. And we know how that's going to go. the first initial rankings, about what, 5 weeks ago, I believe it was, that was asinine. Putting Miami at 18, Notre Dame at 10 or whatever they were. Like, come on, does anybody actually think the gap is that big? No. And the closer we got to the final official rankings, the closer and closer and closer those two teams came together. And once BYU went out, like how BYU goes out whenever they play someone good, you knew they were going to drop in the rankings. And bang, that activates the head-to-head tiebreaker, which is what should decide who goes in to the CFP. Because the beauty of sports is that we all have opinions. Like, all of us have opinions on, oh, this team is better than that team. This player is better than this player. I mean, how many times do we debate, like, oh, like who's the greatest NFL team of all time? Or would the 73-win Warriors beat the 1995-96 Chicago Bulls? We all have these opinions and debate them. We've all sat at bars debating them. We've all sat at school lunch tables debating them. But at the end of the day, none of that stuff matters, because there's a way to determine in sports who should move on and who should advance. A scoreboard. And back on Labor Day weekend, the scoreboard read, Miami 27, Notre Dame 24. End of story. And what really interests me the most about why this was even a conversation to begin with, other than to add some dramatics to the television product, but Notre Dame's best data points the entire season, when you look at their resume, their best data points were losses. What kind of sport is that where we're saying, wow, that's a beautiful loss. Welcome to the college football playoff. Like, why should that get in? Like, I just talked about Alabama. They got blasted against Georgia. However, they beat third-ranked Georgia in Athens. They beat 14th-ranked Vanderbilt, and they won the SEC regular season. So that seems like a pretty good resume. Like, you still need to win your way into the college football playoff. Scheduling two tough teams and losing to them to where then all of a sudden you just run the table against cupcakes. Like, their best win was against USC. I said all season, I've watched damn near every single USC game because I bet Jaden Maiava to win the Heisman Trophy. USC is not good. They're not. And anytime they have to leave the Pacific time zone, they're actually terrible. That's their best win. That's not going to get you to the CFP. And you can say, well, Femi, well, I mean, Miami lost to SMU. They lost to Louisville. Yeah, but they beat Notre Dame. So what? Like, you must win your way into the CFP. Notre Dame never did that. They didn't meet the requirement. The committee, although the process was rather poor, and I think that's why Notre Dame's all upset, because the week-to-week rankings, Notre Dame was always high. They were always up there. There was always a gap between them and Miami. So Notre Dame fell for it. They got hoodwinked. They got bamboozled. The process stunk out loud, but the result, which is what matters most, was absolutely correct by the college football committee. So I know people got smoke for the committee. I don't, because like I said, if I was the person that had all the power to determine who the 12-team playoff was going to be and who would be in, I would have come up with the same exact bracket. They got the right teams in there. I don't care that Notre Dame is power rated like the third best team in the country. Take the power ratings and shove them where the sun don't shine. Like, it doesn't matter. Results on the field are what matter most. And in Notre Dame's big spots, they lost the games. See you later. See you next year, Fighting Irish. Where when you look at their schedule next year, they lose a couple games, we're going to be right back here having the same damn conversation. Now, that's not the only crazy part about what we saw from the College Football Playoff Committee. Boy, we got takes on college football. This is a lot of fun. I don't know how we got here. Well, I do know how we got here, but it's still absurd. Two group of five teams in the 12-team college football playoff, thanks to Duke winning the ACC. This should not have happened. this should not have happened whatsoever. And Mike Brown doing a great job right now putting up the CFP bracket. For those of you who are watching on YouTube or Twitch, we have it up there. Two group of five teams in the college. Like, due to the bylaws of the playoff, this is how it all played out. Now, to me, it's pretty clear that the 12-team CFP bracket, the format, was built for the Power 5 era back when the Pac-12 used to exist, RIP West Coast football. But, like, now we have the Power 4 era, which means we have a group of five team that will always be in. But because of these funky ACC tiebreakers that robbed us of seeing a more capable team in the ACC title game, we now have an ACC team as a conference champion with 5 losses. Of course, you can never take that team to the CFP. Like, Miami should have been playing for the ACC title game. And if Miami wins the ACC, that's the ACC's bid. And guess what? Notre Dame or Texas or Vandy, one of those teams would have been in the CFP. But nope. The tiebreaker said, we got to have Duke and Virginia. And Miami's going to have to go in via the at-large route. And luckily for Miami, they got in there. But the conferences are just way too big. Like, we cannot have Duke versus Virginia in the ACC. And I think, because like I'm not like a guy that likes to just like kind of dunk on the group of five. Like, I do think the group of five deserves a spot with some ramification. Because like when we all thought about, hey, like let's let a G5 team make it. I mean, we're all thinking about like those Chris Peterson Boise teams or the Urban Meyer Alex Smith Utah team or the undefeated UCF team with the Griffin twins. Like, that's what we were thinking about when we were saying group of five deserves a spot at the table. We're not thinking about a 2-loss Tulane from the American. I'm sorry. Like no shade toward the green wave and John Summerall and all that. But nobody's thinking about 2-loss Tulane or a 12-1 James Madison that looked like absolute garbage in the Sun Belt title game against Troy. No one's thinking about that team making the CFP. It's more like the Sauce Gardner Cincinnati team, the Desmond Ridder Cincinnati team. That's what we're thinking about, not this. So, like, one G5 team, I get it. And Boise State, last year Tyler put Boise State in the chat. Like, at least Boise State was undefeated. They were, like, a quality team, so it made sense. It doesn't make sense this year. It doesn't. And I don't know if they're going to make some tweaks. I'm sure they will because nobody wants this with two group of five teams making it to the CFP. But man, oh man, like they got to do something because this can never happen again. And with the ACC being what it is, the how big the conference is and how bad the conference is, I don't think this is like a random one-off. Like, this could be a thing that happens, not maybe every year, but maybe every so often enough to where we're all annoyed by two group of five teams benefiting from one of the Power Four conferences not holding up their end of the bargain. Which leads me to the last point. And this one's more of a celebratory point than anything. Shout out to the Indiana Hoosiers, man. The Indiana Hoosiers are the number one ranked team in the country in football. Never thought those words would ever come out of my mouth. Indiana beats Ohio State 13-10 in the Big Ten title game. I thought the Buckeyes blew the game, to be quite honest. Like, Ryan Day, I don't know what you're doing. 4th-and-1 at the 5, 4th-and-1 from the 9, not able to come up with any points. But credit Indiana. Kurt Cignetti, what he's done in 2 short years in Bloomington is nothing short of remarkable. And he has an awesome team that's a legitimate national title contender, and they're led by the Heisman Trophy winner, Fernando Mendoza. It hasn't been announced yet, but it will be announced Saturday night as Heisman Mendoza got it done against the Buckeyes. On the other side, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on the Chiefs' loss to the Houston Texans.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.